because the liquid makes the plates of the Isser, the time that goes out of the Isser, mix into the whole Kapshel. That's all talking about Bishul. But Sli is a different story, at least for Sfarim. Avol Isser, Bincham, Binkar, Shinokal, and Sli, Chay, Sleish. But whether cold or hot, if it fell onto a hot roasting meat, which is by the fire, meaning roasting solids, if we're dealing with solids, Ein Oser Elik Deinatila, Shuka Ovi Rocha Ve'etzva. Okay, this is a big machlokes rishonim.
Kopei Seif Dalad.
Quotes, quotes machlokes. The Gemara says clearly that when you cook things, the time goes through the whole thing because the gravy and the soup and the permeates everything. But how about when you just roast things? Then the Gemara says, we'll stick with the mainstream shitas. The Gemara says, there was a case once where they roasted the I think it was a goat with the ginnasha, let's say, and they just you just like peel off layers and you eat it, and you only asher the layer that's next to the isser. How thick of a layer next to the isser do you asher? So that's a machlokes rishonim. The Rashi says kidei klipa. Sli only asks the klipa, but we don't pass there. Well, we pass like Tosos and the Rosh and the Ran, right? Sli. I'm just going to give the two most pashut opinions. Say kidei netila, and we pass in kidei netila. That if you roast two things next to each other, then the tam penetrates a kidei netila, a thick layer. How thick of a layer? It says it will be etzva, which is the width of a thumb. In a steak, that could be the whole steak. But if you're talking about a side of beef or something, you just peel off a thumb's worth from the edge, and the rest will be okay. Lefikach, therefore, what's the example? Yerech shetzlo b'gido. If you have a side of beef and you roast it and you forgot to remove the gidanosha. Anyone know, by the way, what's so bad if you forget to remove the gidanosha? After all, the gidanosha has no taste, so how is it going to answer anything? No, that's only the end, not the taste, right? So, meaning, after you roast, you'll throw out the gidanasha. Who cares? The taste of the gidanasha went into your side of beef. The gidanasha has no taste. The shuman again, midrabanan, we answer the shuman around the gidanasha, and that's what's going to treif up your meat. Or you just have a piece of treif meat that you roast next to a piece of kosher meat. And they touch each other. You have to take off and throw in the garbage a netila worth around the gidanasha. One second, sorry. Bechemin achaticha, or from the piece, makum shenag bechadilas, isser, where it touched the isser. Basically, wherever the heifer touched the isser, the tam of the isser goes into the netila. Bechemin nafal isser al chaticha shevetir shechut le rotev. Sorry, Isaac.
What about the isser of the shuman agit? Is that on the end or is it also on the tam?
Also on the tam. We saw there's one opinion out that way, but we hold it is. Bechemin nafal isser al chaticha shevetir. This is chazar for us. If a treif fell onto a piece of meat that's sticking up out of your stew. Remember, this is like the drop of milk that fell? Right? She chutz the rotev. That's outside of the rotev. Lo nirak nir lo kisa. And you didn't cover or stir the pot to mix it all in. Ein oso kedei netila. Right? This is like what we saw earlier, right? If a piece of treif, let's say a drop of lard or a slice of ham, lands on a piece that's outside the rotev, then it doesn't get mixed into everything unless you cover the pot or stir the pot. It does oso kedei netila where it lands. I've only been rotev, but if it lands into a piece that's in the rotev, the Rashi Kulo, the Ria Filim, everyone's confused because some people add the word Girsa in the Shulchan Aruch, but our Girsa with the brackets works. If, remember, according to Rashi, only if it's all in the rotev will the taste go throughout. And according to the Ri, even if it's partially in the rotev, the taste will go throughout. We already learned that. Oh, Filu Kulo Chos Rotev Nirbo, Kisach Deira, Ha Rotev, Bafeatam, Arvo, Nechav, Kulo. So if it lands on, according to Rashi, a piece that's all submerged, or according to the Ria piece that's even partially submerged. That makes the taste go into the whole stew. Or if you stir the pot, then you submerge it. Or if you cover the pot, then the steam connects everything. Then the taste of the isser will go through and asser the whole stew. But if that doesn't happen, there's just one meatball sticking up, and a slice of ham lands on it, it'll only asser to the atila, because that will be like a sleeve, and not like a bishel. Okay. sorry. Hey. Here is another big machlokes. The Gemara says, The Gemara has a different case. The Gemara is the case of that if you roast a... One case was, you know, when you roast a side of beef with the ginanusha inside, that asers a netila around it. Then they have another case, they ask, but hold on a second, you're going to say tzli doesn't aser as much as bishul? There was once a case where they forgot to take the chilev out of a gedi and they roasted it. You know, they put like the whole thing on a spit. and they paskin that you couldn't eat the whole thing was treif, even the tip of the ear. It was all treif. Why is it all treif? It was only tzli. It's, that was a fat goat. A fat goat has a lot of fat, a lot of chilev. Chilev, since it's fatty, is mifapea, spreads throughout. And that's exactly what we're passing in Sifei. That when is tzli different than... When does tzli only after the tila if it's lean? Like the shuman around the ginanusha, which is very lean. But if it's fatty, then it's mifapeya, it permeates through the whole thing. Vamed verma, where we'll start again, chance tzli also getting tila. When do we say tzli only makes the taste go in and contain the tila? Be yerech and gidum heyotzibo, like a yerech and ginanusha or similar things. Dabar kachosh, something lean. She'emo kach mifapeya b'cholakaticha, which doesn't have the power to permeate the whole piece. Aval gidish shaming, but a fat goat, she'tlo b'chel, both you roasted it with the chelev, you forgot to remove the chelev and roast it. Im ein b'cholak gishishim k'nei kol ha-chelev, if the gedi is not 60 times the chelev shavo, asher lechel afilu marosh azno, it's asher to eat even from the tip of the ear. She came into shaming, since it's fatty, v'papeh b'chulo, it spreads throughout. Aval u'kachosh, but if it's a lean gedi, even if it doesn't have 60 times the chelev, ain't also el kedin tila, and only after kedin tila, shachelev shebehem kachusha kachushu betivo ve'ino mefapeya. Okay, this is machlok shushanu. We'll stick with shonar for now. He says, if you have a lean goat, then the fat of the chelev of a lean goat is naturally lean and doesn't have power to permeate. Only the chelev of a fatty goat means not even all chelev has power to permeate. Only chelev, when there's a lot of chelev, it's a fatty goat, that's good quality chelev, it can permeate. The chelev of a scrawny goat, a starving scrawny goat, is poor quality chelev, and it's still lean. It's funny, even though chelev is made of fat, chelev is a kind of fat, there's lean fat, and there's fatty fat.
Was it just meaning the amount of that fat, I presume?
No, it seems to be the quality, saying the quality. Chelev shenehem kusha kofshu v'tilo ve'inu mfateya. Meaning, I don't know, you have to ask some scientists exactly how this works. Maybe the scientists will have a good explanation. I don't know, I never checked. But he says, the chelev of a scrawny goat is naturally less fatty, and therefore does not mefapeya, does not penetrate, only goes to kedin tila. But the chelev of a fat goat goes kedin tila. Okay, this is based on the Gemara, distinguished between a fat goat and a scrawny goat, and this is one of the pshatim, the chelev of a scrawny goat is naturally scrawny. So let's just... Okay, we'll come back for a moment to analyze. Let's just learn one. Well, we'll come back to this line. No, you know, even if, what's a chiddush? The chiddush is, this chiddush is going to be controversial. Even if the iser is kachosh. So, let's see, hold on. Here we have. Tzli b'dover shamein ha-mifapeya is mefurish gemara that it's mifapeya b'chulo. Now, we have two questions here. One question we're going to come back to is, what if we're going to come back to that in a second. What if there's 60 times Yabit Lashishim and Sadev Mifapea? We'll come back to that in a second. But first we're going to deal with, actually let's go over here. What if you have the following case? What if you have Heter Kachosh? No, that's not what I meant. Heter Shamin and Isra Kachosh. Sorry. What happened in that case? Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'chatichas Heter Shin, V'afilo Chatichas Heter Isra Kusha, V'chatichas Heter Shinitzli Mashmeina, Ha'isra V'fabeh B'chula. What happens? Then, all usher, the hetter becomes all usher. Even though the hetter, the isser is not fed. Why? This is controversial, and this is based on a sugya, which is later on in Daf Kuf Ches. The sugya of Recha Milsa. In the case of Recha, let's leave this aside for now and deal with this case. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say it's Asur? Sorry, Shulchan Aruch says it's all Asur. This is not Mefurish in the Gemara. What is Mefurish in the Gemara? What is Mefurish in the Gemara is the following case. You have Heter, you have Isser, and you are running them. Right? You are broiling the heter, and you are broiling the isser. The isser is tachosh, and the heter is shavet. The Gemara says in Pesachim, if you're broiling them together, what happens? The reach of one goes into the other. But only fatty things have a good reach. So what does it say here? It says, step one, the reach of the heter goes into the isser, and fattens the isser. The reich of the heter is fatty, the strong smell goes into the isser and fattens the isser. Then what happens to step two? The reich of the fatty isser goes back into the heter and makes the heter treif. That's what the Gemara says in the sugya of Recha Milsa about Reach. Again, Recha Milsa, the Reach of fatty things, can spread into other things. So what if the heter is fatty and the isser isn't? You might think it would be no problem. The isser is lean. It doesn't have a strong Reach. No, the isser of the heter brings the heter's fat. The Reach brings the fat of the heter into the isser and fattens the isser. Now, if the isser is fat, it can go back and asser the heter. What?
Isn't this a raya for Chanan B'Shar Yisroon? Because that the Shuman becomes the Shuman of Issa, that creates the raya of Issa?
No, because you could say making something fatty is not Midin Chanan. It just makes it fatty and then is able to spread more.
Well, what's if only fat creates the smell? So if this fat is Issa or Hatsa?
Okay, what I meant to say is, it's not that, you're right, I mean, if you don't have a shirt, it's very well, but it's not, you don't have a shirt, sorry, this comes first tomorrow. It's not that the fat of the heter becomes chanand and then goes back. It's that the fat of the heter then takes the taste of the isser and brings it back. Okay, this is what it says in Sugya of Recha Milsa. It's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. The chiddush is that, first the fat of the heter goes in here, it picks up some isser, and then the now fatty isser brings the smell of the isser back into the heter and assers it.
No, I mean obviously, I mean on a simple level, the seis right, something doesn't seem to work, right?
I don't know.
I mean the reach, it just means scent, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not steam, so what? I mean,
the. The smell can have an effect on things. You can't burn one thing into another thing, the smell will go into it. Let's say you burn incense, and you stand there with a shirt. Your shirt won't smell like that until you put it in the wash.
It will absorb smell.
Right, that's called Lag BaOmer smell. right, Lag BaOmer smell, everything you wear smells like smoke until you put it in the wash.
But it's saying that it's not saying that the.
So you're right.
So can we understand this? So they're really just the smells are mixing or something.
So I'm not. I admit I'm not a bucky on the physics of most of simon kokei. You really have to ask a scientist to sit down with it and analyze these things because these are very hard to tell. What we're saying is the smell of this adds fat to this. Now that this is fatty, the smell of this can go back to the heter and asser it. Here's a machlok between the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz.
Still dealing with smell.
Yeah, smell. Says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mechaber, the same will happen with sleep. If you have two pieces next to each other, Heter Shamein and Iser Kachush. The Heter Shamein fattens the Iser Kachush. And then, step two, is Oser Kol HaHeter. Then, once the Iser Kachush is fatty, it goes back and offers all the Heter. That's what the Machaber says. What? For practical purposes.
This has nothing to do with bread.
No, but he says the same thing. It says, yeah, we can apply to tzli. That's why it's the Chiddush of the Mechaber. Says the Taz here.
But if they're touching each other?
Yes. They're touching each other. Remember, tzli should only ask for the tila. What makes it ask for the whole thing? Because the Isser is fat. But the Isser is not fat. The Heter is fat. No, the Isser makes the Heter fat. First, the bli of the Isser goes into the Heter. First, the bli of the Heter goes into the Isser and makes it fat. Now the Isser is fat, it can answer the whole Heter. Says the Taz, Kaimalon Recha La Milsa, says, that was almost a give Recha. We paskin Recha La Milsa. We paskin Recha doesn't answer anything. We don't paskin like that, Gemara. So here's the question. We paskin Recha Lav Milsa. Recha doesn't answer anything. So what's the question? The Shulchan says, Machaber says, we paskin Recha Lav Milsa. But the principle that things can go back and forth and back and forth is a valid principle. So we'll apply it to Tzli. The Taz says, once we paskin Recha Lav Milsa, we reject that whole way of thinking. That was a whole Recha way of thinking. We paskin Recha Lav Milsa, the Inyan Pitum, what does Pitum mean? That one thing fattens something else, and then that thing goes back into it. Shayach rak b'recha. He says, no, that whole logic is only logic in Recha. And we pass in Recha lav milsa, so we ignore that logic. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch would say, Usser. The Taz would say, only Usser k'day netila.
He's saying no, it has to do with Recha, so the Machaber doesn't stop. That doesn't make sense.
Exactly. That's no, so your Recha Mil, so you can't. Question is, can you make a sushtel from Recha to Tzli?
No, but it has nothing to do with the Psak, whether we pass from Recha Mil to Recha Lav Mil.
Ah, okay. What he might mean by that is, if we pass from Recha Mil to, it would be also because of the Recha. Forget the Tzli.
What's the mechanism according to Machaber? Transfer?
The mechanism of tzli. Why? Because in this direction...
That's not Recha.
I know. The Mechaber says, just like there's this Svar. Here's this Svar. The Svar is Azil Hai Umefaten Lahai. Right? Meaning, the Heter goes and fattens the Isser. Right. And once the Isser is fatty, the Gemara says that about Reah. So says the Mechaber. Mechaber says, it applies to Reach and Tzli. Well, says the Taz, no. It only applies to Reach, and it doesn't apply to Tzli. And that's why the Taz disagrees with the Psak of the Mechaber here. We'll see how we make that a little more complicated in Se'ev Zayin.
What's the Lashon of the Taz? Because what you wrote in the book,
okay, so we can discuss it later. I have more to say about it, but I don't want to get into it now. You're absolutely right, but I don't want to get into it right now. I'm sorry. Now, we'll come back to this in Sif Zayin. Let's continue in Sif Hei. Continue in Sif Hei, it says, V'chol dover sheish lo piyapua shenofa l'machum yodua mehati v'tzli, afi sheish v'hatiko sheish l'vachol iser tzorech neti las makom. Okay, here we have a big machlokas rishonim. Here we have a big machlokas rishonim. Let's go back to the idea of piyapua. Forget about the ozel hayim, afatim lahayim, the heter making the isser fatty, and then the isser asking the heter. Let's go back to a regular case. We have a tzlim, darbar shamim, the isser is with papaya. So clearly, let's go back to this. What are the two cases? If Heter is not 60 times the Isser, then that's very poshut. Then it's all trade. That's obvious. The Isser the Mepakeya, and the Heter is not 60 times old trait. Push it. What if the Heter is 60 times or more the Isser? Then what happens? You have this Dover Tzli that's Mepakeya. Right, it's Mepakeya in all the directions. Right? But there is the Heter 60 times. Let's say you have a fat goat. I don't know how it works out. This doesn't work out this way with most fat goats. Whatever. You pick like the right piece of the fat goat with the right piece of chilev that all the numbers work out, and you roast a big half of a fat goat, and that half of the fat goat, the way you cut it, there is, you know, 10 ounces of chilev and 700 ounces of basar. So you have 70 to 1 ratio. So what happens in that case? So, implies the Rambam. Says the Rambam, it's all mutter. Just like Bishul. In Bishul, if you're a bit lashishim, it's all mutter. Why? Because it permeates throughout, right? It spreads throughout and it's lots of lashishim. Right? Because it spreads throughout. And therefore, it's lots of lashishim. Says the Rashma, he disagrees. He brings out a machlokes and a nice machler. Says the Rashma, not so pashut. He says, fatty tzli is not the same as bishul. Because it spreads throughout, but it doesn't spread throughout as much as bishul. It's in between. It spreads further, more than tzli, but it doesn't spread as much as bishul. What is the Rashma paskin? And this is what the machaber says. I apologize. Sorry. Well, there's really three opinions. Let's start with the Ra'ah. Says the Ra'ah, it's still all Asr. Because it spreads unpredictably. Meaning, let's say I have 10 ounces of chilev and 700 ounces of meat. But I don't know which direction that will spread, because it's not like when you cook something in soup that you're guaranteed it will spread in all directions evenly. Maybe it'll only spread this direction, or maybe only in that direction, or maybe only up, or maybe only down. Like, I have no idea where it spreads, so it's all usher, because I don't know where this fat spread. So he says basically 60 doesn't help you. The Rambam says 60 helps you totally. The Ra'ah says 60 doesn't help you because we have no mesora as to which way it spreads. When you're dealing with a solid item, maybe it only spreads downwards, maybe only sideways, maybe only upwards. You don't know where it spread, so you have no idea where the trait taste went, so it's all usher. Says the Rashba, it's all mutter, except for a kedei netila, next to the isser. He makes a compromise. He says, well, we know this. It's if it spreads far, it spreads in all directions and gets bottled. And if it doesn't spread so far, it sticks in the kedei netila. Says the Rashba, what happens when you have chilev, let's say fatty chilev, and you're roasting it? Well, some of it might stay very close within the kedei netila. Whatever spreads more than the kedei netila is going to spread everywhere. So if it's bottled with shisha, whatever went further than the kedei netila went everywhere and became bottled. Whenever it's in the kedei netila, we'll just cut off the kedei netila. So you have three shitas what to do if you roast a piece of meat with chilev and you have a 70 or 80 to 1 ratio. The Rambam said the chilev spread everywhere and its bottle disappeared. Or the taste of the chilev spread everywhere and its bottle. The Ra'ah said the taste of the chilev, you have no idea where it spread. It's all usher because you don't know where that taste spread to. The Rashba said, well, maybe more of the taste spread to the immediate kedei netila. But whatever spread more than a kedei netila, spread everywhere in his bottle. So just cut off the kedei netila and eat the rest. We paskin like the Rashba, that's the Shach Mechaber. We paskin that if you have piapu, dover sheish po piapu of its sleeve, sleeve of fatty things, even if you have 60 times the isser, you still have to throw out the kedei netila touching the isser, but the rest of the meat is mutter. sorry. There's a whole question in the Rashba, how much, I'm not going to get into this, if you look in the Pesach Tshuva, you have Aleph, yeah. Is the Rashba just saying this, a Chumra, a Mi'ikra, a Din, That's discussed in Pesach Chubi and Aleph, but at least on the level of practical halacha in normal cases, you'd have to, if this happened, you'd have to throw out the Kedei Tila and you can eat the rest. There's a diok in the Gemara. What's the diok? If a Dorash Yishol Piapua, let's say a piece of chela fell, sounds like it wasn't there originally, you're roasting a side of beef on a rotisserie, whatever, and a piece of chela falls on it. So if you know where the chela hit, throw out the Kedei Tila where that chela touched it, and then if it's batul, if you have 60, you can eat the rest. Right? So you're roasting a 100-ounce rotisserie chicken, and a 1 ounce of chela falls on it. And then it spins and it falls on the ground. If you see where it hit, take off the Kedei Tila where it hit and eat the rest of the chicken. What if you don't know where it hit? What if it might have hit anywhere? Like, what if you don't know where it landed? So the Rekiv Eger brings that interesting machlokas, says the Brichadish says, then you have to take the Tila off the whole thing. But Rekiv Eger says, not true. He says, then you don't have to take a Kedei Tila off anything. Why? Because it's only one spot. It's only this big. This big was a Kedei Tila was Usser. How many, the whole surface area is how many spots this size? I don't know, 100, 200. He says, whatever spot it landed on, then after the Kedei Tila is bottled to all the spots it didn't land on. So that's the Yachronim assume, like Rabbi Kiva Eger, that if you don't know where it landed, you don't have to take a Kedei Tila off the whole thing. You say, whatever spot it landed on is bottled to the spots it didn't land on, and you don't take a Kedei Tila off anything. So far, we're good for Isaac and Alex. And the next line of the Ramah also says the next line of the Ramah. V'chol mevoshav l'rotu v'ofer dinu k'tzli. Anything that you cook without gravy or that you bake is all called tzli, b'chol dover in all purposes. Meaning tzli means anything dry. V'yei shomrim, now comes the, we know this, what the Ramah is going to say already. What's the Ramah going to say? We Ashkenazim. Why?
We don't know.
We don't know what's fatty and what's lean. You know, it's very hard for us to tell what's fatty and what's lean. That's why we don't do it. We're not good at dieting. Says the Ramah, we're not a bucky anymore. How do we know what's a scrawny goat and what's a fat goat and what's really fatty and what's not? We're not a bucky in this anymore. So we answer everything. Basically, we answer everything. What do we do? What do Ashkenazim do? Since we're not a bucky, we say, for Ashkenazim, all tzli is a double shaman vaper. We're not a bucky. How do we know what's fat and what isn't? Therefore, all tzli, if we do any kosher touching treif in tzli, we assume it'll ask the whole thing. And if the heter is not 60 times the isser, it's all treif. Even if the heter is 60 times the isser, we still have to take off a kedei netila. The Shach quotes in the Maharshal that even the Maharshal wants to hold like the Rambam, then you don't need Kedei Netila on the Dover Shamei. And Mitzvah Ashkenazim, since we're not Bucky, you always have to take off a Kedei Netila because it might be Kachosh, and you always have to Aser the whole thing if it's not 60 because it might be Shamei. V'hachi Nahud, the Davka, but when do Ashkenazim the Schomra, Davka v'Isser Chela v'Shar Isser v'Shayach v'Sham Nunes? Only on something that's shayach shamnunis. There's some things that are shayach to be fatty or lean, like chalev could be scrawny chalev, or fatty chalev, or meat could be fatty meat, or lean meat. Things that are shayach, cheese could be fatty cheese, or low-fat cheese. Those are only things that are shayach. But, aval be'isrud vol shayach vol shamnunis v'vadeh kosh, something which we're sure is kachosh, because it's not even shayach shamnunis. It's not the kind of thing that's ever fatty. Like you have matzah, pita, right? How do you treat pita? I don't know, maybe it's a shaylo chametz on Pesach, right? Or maybe it's like, you know, klayakeren pita, or, you know, svichin, svichin shvias pita, or something like that, right? There's no such thing as fatty. Like, the way the ingredients are, it's never fatty. Matzah is never fatty. I mean, other things are never fatty. If you have something that's never fatty, then we don't need to be machmer, because what pekiyos do you need, right? Eino osa rakne intila, then you go by the strict din, and it only asks us kedei netila bitzli. So if there's something that's not shayach to be fatty at all, then you don't have to worry. Right? It's, I don't know, Mike and Ike's, right? Doesn't always say no fat, right? Because they're very healthy things. Sure. A low-fat snack, right? So, you know, I don't know, Mike and Ike's not shayach. So, I don't know, maybe all micronites. There's no fatty micronites. You don't need any bikias. It all says low-fat snacks. Okay, so in that case, if you trade micronites and it touched your meat, well, it touched your food while you're doing tzli, you'd only ask for tila. Okay, we will have to, the shock points and of cut and test zion, that we will have to modify that a little further on, that we'll see that that's not so poshet. Later on in Siftes, he's going to quote, that the Rama backtracks from this kula a little. and the Shach says, this is true for Nisud Rabbanan. For Nisud Rabbanan, Ashkenazim are machmer, something that's not Shayach Shamunis. But for Nisud Raisa, we're machmer even on something that's not even Shayach Shamunis. So in fact, the Shach gives us a clue here. If you're talking about Dover Shashayach Bo Isser, Shashayach Bo Shamunis, and Isser Shalo Shayach Bo Shamunis, and you're talking about Isser de Oraisa and an Isser de Rabbanan, in the end, the Shach points out, will be machmer on a davar shayach bo shamnunis, whether the Oraisa de Rabbanan, even if lo shayach bo shamnunis, we're going to end up being machmer on the Oraisa, and we're only going to end up being mako on the Rabbanans that are not shayach bo shamnunis, which is pretty rare. Basically, Ashkenazim are going to end up being very, very machmer and saying tzli asers the whole thing on shishim, not just kedei
tila. What's the reason for that? I mean, if it's not shy to be fatty, then...
As exeger for Doraisa, so you shouldn't be confused between something that's not shy to be fatty and something that is shy to be fatty. We go the extra mile because we don't like to make distinctions. It's like exeger. A minute of glimpse, yeah.
Okay. When you were talking before, let's say, about like a fatty goat or a scrawny goat, I mean, mm-hmm. does that promise just mean look at a goat if it's just a slim?
Yes, Sfardim look at a goat and say, that's a scrawny goat. It, you know, it didn't have anything to eat. That's a fatty goat. That looks delicious. But Ashkenazim, they look at a goat and they say, what's that? We never saw that in our city, in our high rises. It looks like it makes noise. It must be a very sophisticated toy they make nowadays that makes noise and walks around by itself, and they look for the remote control. So therefore, they just don't know how to tell what's a scrawny goat and what's a fatty goat. Okay. sorry. Se'if bav. Dover she'esh lo piyapua bitzli. Something which is one of these fatty things that we just mentioned that has piyapua bitzli, right? Im haya echad chami echad sonin. If there is one hot and one cold, then you could figure this out even without the Ramah. Basically, what's he trying to say? Let's imagine here. Here you have sonin, Chum on top of tzomi. How much does it aser no matter what? Kedei klipa. Only kedei klipa. It doesn't matter if it's liquid or solid or this or that or shamin. It only aser kedei klipa. What if you have chum on top of chum or the equivalent tzomi on top of chum because tatan gavar? Then that depends. If it's bishol, then it asers the whole thing. If it's tzli shomein, then it asers the whole thing. What if it's tzli kachush? Then what would it aser? Kedei netiva. Right? Because it's considered hot. Basically, in Tatal Gavar, if the bottom is cold, it's considered cold, only kedei klipa, nothing to talk about. If the bottom is hot, it's considered hot, and you go by the rules as if it was on a fire, as if you were cooking. So in Bishol, it goes through the whole thing, and it asers up to shishim, and if there's shishim, it's mutter. In Tzli, that Shomein, it also goes the whole thing, up to Shishim and Asers. If there's Shishim, you still have to cut off the Kedei Netila where it touched. And Tzli, that's not Shomein, you know, for Sfardim or for Ashkenazim, Tzli, that's the Rabbanan, and not even Shayat and Shomein, and we can rely on ourselves. Then, if it's considered all hot, it only asks the Kedei Netila. That's what he says above. Dar Shish lo piyapua b'tzli, if haya echad chan yechad soni, atak don gover, lefikach nachal chan al soni, and also Kedei Netila. If hot falls on cold, it only asks the Kedei Netila. Klipa, I meant. Here we're talking about dar shishim lo piyapua b'tzli. If cold lands on hot, it's considered all hot. And if you don't have shishim, then it'll answer the whole thing. What's the difference between this case and this case? Kulo. Ad shishim. Kulo ad shishim. Va'afilo. If there is shishim, it's still oser k'dei netila, as we paskin from the Rashba. Okay, now we're ready for a more levitic seif zayin. Had chatichas iser oseres chaverta bin biasa dav geshasura machvas atzma. When does tzli? Now it's the second difference. There are two differences between tzli and bishul. The first difference between tzli and bishul is, does the taste go through the whole thing or only through a k'dei netila? We paskind. Well, if it's lean, I mean, basically mara, it only goes through a k'dei netila. If it's fatty, it goes through the whole thing. But it still might concentrate in the first k'dei netila. We always have to throw that out. There's another difference between tzli and bishul, which is not found explicitly in Shas. There's only the... Some Rishonim are medayik from Shas. Or really, I guess in the end, all Rishonim are going to be. Okay, it's a deal from Shas. We'll see where it comes from in a second. What if you have, what do we see here? In Tzli, let's just put it on the board first. We have here a chatika of beef with ta'am of iser, ta'am of pork. Right, what's the problem? This beef got a ta'am of pork. Maybe some lard dripped onto it and got a ta'am of pork. Or maybe it was cooked in a soup with pork and got a ta'am of pork. This beef got a ta'am of pork. What happens if you then cook in your vegetable soup? What happens if you cook it in your vegetable soup? This beef that is a ta'am of pork?
Depends how much it is, Ashkenazi.
It will aser your vegetable soup, right? What happens? Right? It's oser ad shishim. It'll aser your vegetable soup unless your vegetable soup is 60 times as big. 60 times as big as what? For Sephardim, 60 times as big as however much pork taste went in. For Ashkenazim, 60 times as big as the whole piece because it's chanan. Right? Ad shishim bechaticha for Ashkenazim, or biblias iser for Sephardim. Now another case. What happens if you roasted it with kosher food? Sleep. You didn't cook it. There's no gravy. You put it on your barbecue, and it's touching your kosher burgers. Right, one burger has a blia of treif, and you roast it, and it touches all your other burgers. What happens? Says the mechaber, "Hadechatichas iser oseres chaverta b'gosa dak shisor machus atzma kun avilu bas v'cholov v'lo ein ba iser l'mashe bolim makom acher ein oseres acheres hanugat ba afilu nitzlu yachad." Says the Seder Rishonim. What will happen now? The Blias Iser will not transfer without Rutev. Now, this is not explicit.
Even if we say Chanan?
In Shas. Even if we say Chanan. Ah, great point. Okay, let me go back. That's exactly what I want you to ask. So, let's take it one step at a time. First, we have a principle. First, we have a principle in Metzius, and then we have a principle in Din. You were pointing out the second, right? What's the principle of Metzius? First, we have a rule of Metzius. Metzius is agreed upon by all Rishonim. Even though it doesn't say it explicitly in Shas, it's agreed upon by all the Rishonim. I guess it's implied a few places in Shas. Why? Because a few places in Shas it discusses like pieces that are touching each other that are hot. Says the Isser Asers, the treif one Asers the Heter next to it. Why doesn't Aser the treif one and the Heter next to it? Then the Heter next to it will Aser one next to that. Then will Aser one next to that, will Aser one next to that. The answer is because it can only go into one piece. What's the principle, the rule of Mitzias? Here. Rule in Mitzias, in reality, is Ein Blia Yotzeit Mechaticha Lachaticha Bli Rote. A blia will not go from one piece to another without liquid. What do I mean by blia? Not the taste of the thing itself. When you roast something, of course its own juices come out and go to the next piece. That's pashut. Everyone knows if you roast something, the juices come out and affect the piece next to it. What this means is an external blia. Not the taste of the thing itself, that's asur machos atzmo. The blia that came into a piece from something else won't go out without rotev. So if I have a piece of kosher steak that's treif to touch the treif steak, so it's only treif because there's a blia of treif, that treif taste inside my piece will not come out through roasting. It will only come out through cooking. An external blia will only come out through cooking. That's the principle. Ein blia, meaning an external blia, yotzeis mechaticha lechaticha, bli rotev. So if I have kosher meat, even if it has a treif blia inside, it will not affect the other pieces on the grill unless I cook it. If I cook it in the stew, that will treif everything up. According to Sfaradim, you'll need shishim, can I get the blia? According to Ashkenazim, you'll need shishim, can I get the kulo? But if I just roast it, if I just barbecue it, then it's no problem. that's a principle of Mitzias that the Rishonim are medayik from the Gemara. Now, Zeb asked, that's fine for Sfaradim. Right? For Sfaradim, basically, this is a kosher beef with just a little cake pork taste inside. Okay, if you grill it without soup, without rotev, that pork taste won't come out. For Ashkenazim, that whole piece became chanan. If that whole piece became chanan, then who cares that the pork taste won't come out? The beef taste will come out. It's chanan beef taste. Let the chanan beef taste the asr in the next piece. For Ashkenazim, that's what Zev was asking, right, Zev? So, here is, how about the pork taste? The pork taste is no problem because the pork taste won't come out with that rotev. But how about for Ashkenazim, the beef taste? This is now treif beef. It's chanan beef. How about the beef taste for the ones who say chanan? Why doesn't the beef taste make the next piece usher? So here the Rishonim give not a principle in Mitzias, but a principle in Din. What's the rule? This is the rule in Din. The rule is, but not everyone tells the rule.
That it's Efshel Softer.
Yes, okay, but they have a different nickname for the rule here. Ein ha-nesar oser, ela b'makom, sheha-oser yachol lehalech v'sham. Lehalech is what we call lehalech, probably. The nesar will not aser unless the oser could go there. Meaning even when something becomes hanan, it only becomes chanan as long as it sticks with the original oser. Even though this beef became chanan because of the pork, it's only chanan as long as it's still with the pork. Chanan doesn't mean forever turned into treif. Chanan means while it's with the pork, it's treif. So as long as it's cooking here with the pork, it's treif. It has pork taste inside it. But if I then roast, let's see what happens. Can I erase? Okay. What happens in this case? Let's review what happens. These are very, very hush principles. Here I have, we're going to have to go back to Ozohai and Fafu Mahai, but we'll put that back on the board. What do I have here? Here I have my beef with Bleas pork. And here I have my kosher beef. And here I have a fire, no rota. Right? What happens? What transfers here? The beef taste transfers, right? That's the taste of the thing itself. But the pork taste does not transfer. Right? The beef taste transfers, the pork taste doesn't transfer. That's the mitzius. Then what happens? So, right? Let's just...
You say
one.
That's the mitzias. You're saying we're assuming...
We're assuming that's the mitzias.
Wait, I just want to make sure I understand. The assumption is the beef or the pork, if I were to taste that, I would taste a little bit of pork in it. But
right.
The piece of beef next to it, which is only touching the beef with the pork...
I will not taste
that,
any pork in it whatsoever. Okay. If a scientist did a, you know, study for the taste molecules of pork, he wouldn't find any. Not even find only a little. He wouldn't find any. The pork taste doesn't transfer without rotif. What about this beef taste? Since many of us are Ashkenazim here, says even though beef was hanan for Ashkenazim, even though it was hanan, still the beef taste that transfers without any pork taste, if you would say, the beef taste transfers with only a little pork taste. The pork taste is so little you can't taste it. Say, no, hanan. That's the whole point of hanan. Even though the pork is enough to make it also the whole beef is straight. But hanan lasts even when the pork taste is diluted. But if there's no pork taste, is no longer usser. This, Menachem correctly says, this is called, perhaps, it's going to get the Shach Pazer about to mention, perhaps it's called Efshel Sotom Mutter. If you can totally separate, meaning, if you can totally separate out the Hanan, then it becomes Mutter again. Hanan doesn't last forever. Hanan lasts as long as there's still a little pork mixed with the beef. Even 1 in 60, even 1 in 100, even 1 in a million. But if there's no pork left in the beef, then there's no more hanan. What's that rule called? The name of the rule in the Rishonim, all these rules are from Rishonim. None of this is explicit in the Gemara. The name of this rule in the Rishonim is... Ein hanesar yochol lesar. The nesar that became hanan, the thing, the beef that became hanan from the pork, cannot aser, ella only b'makom she'ha'oser yachol lahalich l'sham. Only someplace where the oser can go with it. Wherever the pork taste goes, even if it's very diluted, the beef stays hanan. Wherever the pork taste is gone, if Eliyahu Navi would come with a magic wand and remove all the pork taste 100%, that would take away the hanan. So it's saying, don't think hanan means it turned usher forever. Hanan means it turned usher even if you take away 99.99% of the pork, the beef is still hanan. But if there's zero pork left, the beef is not hanan. So this beef to the left of my hand is hanan. But the beef taste that goes into the next piece is pure beef taste without any pork. How do we know? Based on the first rule, which is the rule about mitzias. Therefore, since it's pure beef taste without any pork, it is unchananed itself. The beef taste that transferred is not chananed, it's just innocent beef taste. Because once it got rid of the pork entirely, it's no longer chananed. That's the principle of, that's what he's saying. When do we say tzli aser the beast next to it? If you would have pork next to beef. Or if you would have nevela next to shruta. But if you only have kosher with a bli of treif, then that's not a problem.
And we've seen Basil Chav, we
don't
say that.
Hold that thought. That's exactly what you were hinting at last time. That's Machlok Hashach Tas. Okay, now, I'm sorry. Afilu im nitlu yachad. This is the big kula. It's a big kula. Number one, it's a kula mitzias. you can't call it cool if it's fact, then don't think that the lard that went into this piece will come out and go into the next piece. The lard will be stuck in the first piece, only Rotev can get it out. And for Ashkenazim, the Chiddush is, if the lard is stuck in this piece, don't think this piece is so Hanan that the beef taste, Hanan beef taste goes into here. Since the beef taste that comes out has no pork in it anymore, it reverses the Hanan, and now it's kosher beef taste. Complete separation reverses Hanan. That's really the second principle here. Now, here is the controversial part. Ready for controversy? Okay. Controversy without politics, though. Just controversy. Here you have beef with blia of milk. And you roast it next to beef. Again, you have fire with no rotev, you know, causing the transfer. Bintzios, we all know what happens. Right? Bintzios, we know what happens. The beef taste transfers. The milk taste does not transfer, right? Because a blia can't go, only the beef can go. So what's the status of that second piece of beef now?
No,
that second piece of beef got no milk in it. Only got beef in it, not milk in it. So what's the status? Ah, so what is Epson? Basically, this is the question of what is, well, okay, what's Zev saying? Zev, you think that beef is kosher or treif? What do you think? So, one shita, we'll call that Zev, or if you don't mind, if we just save some time, we'll call it the Shach. One shita is the Shach, and Pshat of the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch. After all, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? He said, if it's an aveila, or bas v'chalom. Said explicitly bas v'chalom is a problem. Right? So the Shah of the Torah of Shulchan Aruch in the Shah says that they basket usher in this case.
Isn't this also why the Sfarim are moda to the Ashkenazim?
Exactly. Zev says, because bas v'chalom is different than Hanan b'shari suri. Even Sfarim are moda. Even most poskim say it's the rice of Hanan after Rabban Hanan. Baser b'cholav, when baser b'cholav becomes Hanan, says Zev, it really becomes Hanan. It becomes Hanan forever, irreversibly, regardless of what you separate. Right? It's a higher level of Hanan. That is what Zev is saying, right? Okay. Zev says why? Because Hanan of baser b'cholav is a higher level. After all, even Sfarim admit. And not only Sfarim, Ashkenazim, Paskin, that Hanan of Shari Surim is Darabanan, but Basmachal is no Raisa, right? So everyone admits it's a higher level, and therefore it is a permanent change. It is a permanent change in every molecule. Once you have Basmachal, every molecule is added bas v'chalav forever, even if you totally separate it. Right? That's what Zev was saying. Right? And this rule doesn't apply to bas v'chalav. No. Bas v'chalav, the nesar will oser even a place where the oser couldn't have gotten there. The meat will oser even where the milk can't go. And the milk will oser even where the meat can't go. Because it mamish turned in every molecule, turned into a molecule of iser permanently forever. No going back. That's what Zev says, right? And that's what Shulchan Aruch says, bas v'chalav. No. No. The milk won't transfer. But the Hanan beef will transfer. And the Hanan beef taste will oser it. I mean, the mitzias is no different in bas v'chalav than another thing. It's only the halacha that's different. Right? So this is... meaning, it's not going to be also because the milk goes into the next piece. It's going to be also because the Hanan beef taste goes into the next piece. Oh, when the Hanan beef taste went into the next piece, it had no more milk with it. Doesn't matter. Bas v'chalav, that became real Hanan. That became treif forever. Even if there's no more milk in it, it's still treif. Zev is comfortable with that, right?
It makes sense with if you have a kavela beef next to the regular beef, but they're not going to taste it.
Correct. However, the Maharshal and Eshel Softo is also in Basar B'Chalav. Exactly, if we want to use these phrases. The problem is whether you use these phrases, depending on how otherwise you use these phrases, might depend on how much that. But yeah. However, the Maharshal, the Taz, and the Grud disagree. And they have more Rishonim on their side. And certainly the Pashtos of the Ri Baltosos and the Rashba, the Sfardi, and other Rishonim is like that. They say mutter. They say that piece is mutter. Why? This is a big chiddush in Basar B'Chalav. They say this rule applies even to Basar B'Chalav. You might remember in Tzadi Beis, we mentioned the Bachlok Shach and Taz, but I said we'd get to it in more detail later, if I recall correctly. This rule applies even to Basar B'Chalav. They say even Hanan of Basar B'Chalav is not really a permanent transformation forever. Is only as long as they are still mixed, even a little. By a little, I mean in small proportions. Meaning, if I cook meat with milk, it becomes Hanan, even if then it, all of a sudden I dilute it and the milk is only 1/100th. And then I dilute it more, the milk is only 1/1000th. Basically, I have a piece of meat I cooked in milk. It's Hanan. What does the Hanan mean? If I then put it in vegetable soup and a lot of the milk comes out and only a little milk stays in, it's still Hanan. If I then put it in another soup and a lot of the milk comes out and a little stays in, it's still Hanan. If it goes down to the point where it's only a millionth milk and 999,999 parts meat and only a tiny bit of milk, it's still Hanan. But if there's milk and meat are separated legamre, it stops being Hanan. Even Hanan of Basar B'Chalav is reversible. Now, in the actual piece of meat, unless you have magic, you're never going to be able to undo Hanan, because how would you get all the milk taste out of this piece of steak? It's impossible using halachic principles known to us. But when the beef taste transfers without milk taste into the next piece, you've done a complete separation. You have only beef taste without milk taste. And according to the Taz, that undoes the Hanan even in Basar B'Chalav. And Zev, that's the Machlokes Shach and Taz. Is Hanan of Basar B'Chalav a fundamentally higher Madrega than Hanan of Shari Surin in this? Or no? And maybe for other things it might be a little more chomer, but Lemais, it's on the same Madrega. This is a fundamental Machlokes about the nature of Basar B'Chalav. The Shach says, Basar B'Chalav fundamentally turns into molecules of Basar B'Chalav forever. And the Taz says, no, it doesn't. As long as there's Basar and there's Chalav, even if only a little, it stays Basar and Chalav forever. But if you can have the Basar without any Chalav at all, or the Chalav without any Basar at all, then it's not Basar and Chalav anymore. He uses, by the way, a great example, the Taz. He says, after all, what Isser and Halacha would you think that we might think of once in a while is most similar to Basar and Chalav, that you mix two things and they become Asr? Client, how about Shatnez? What if, Alex, stand up. Alex is wearing a coat. What if in this coat, in the pocket of this coat, in the seam of the pocket, there was one, it's a wool coat, one thread of linen is sewn here. The whole coat is usher to wear. Even if you only stick your hand in the other end, you're doing this to Raisa. It's all Hanan. What if I take that thread of linen out, or if I just chop off the pocket, then it becomes mutter. I mean, there is such a thing as, forget it, Alex, we'll use my shirt. If this button to my shirt is sewn on with linen thread, even if I totally take off this sleeve and I don't use that button at all, it's usher d'oraisa to wear any of the shirt, because it has one thread of linen sewing the button. Right? That one thread of linen made the whole thing nevela. But if I take off this button, now the whole thing becomes kosher again. Just because something became intrinsically treif doesn't mean it can't become kosher again, he says, if the Taz says that to Zev. I know Basar B'Chalav is intrinsically treif, and it's really treif, and it's fundamentally treif, and use any adverb you want. But just because something turns treif doesn't mean it can't turn kosher again, even if it turns treif midoraisa.
But
with
Basar B'Chalav, there's absorption going on.
I know, so usually you can't reverse the absorption and it's straight forever. Exactly, meaning if I have the steak, let's say this is not a Gemara, this is a steak that was cooked in milk. It absorbed milk. So the mice, it's straight forever because I can never get out of the milk. It's, you're right, meaning practically it's not like shatnez. Because how can I ever get out of all the milk of the steak? What can I do? I can cook it again and again and again and try to get some of the milk to leave. But there'll always be, what, a tiny drop left. So it's straight forever. But if I broil this steak next to a chumash steak, then the meat taste will go into the chumash steak. The milk taste won't, because of the principle that a bliya doesn't go with that rotev. Now, the absorption into here is pure meat without any milk left. I have separated it. I mean, you're right, you can never separate the piece itself without magic. But when it goes into the next piece, it separates itself. It's like a filter. Only the meat taste can go with that rotev. The milk that absorbs from elsewhere can't go with that rotev. Yeah. And in that case, it undoes the chanan. That's the machlokas shach and taz.
Is the shach, let's say, argue that this is part of the sort of like, I don't even want to say it, maybe like the chok of basa b'chola, that it has this element of chiddush, that when these two things that are normally mutter combined, they just like morph in some level into a new category that's just fused, and that's it? Is that how he... understand? So we just say, even if you could theoretically separate, it doesn't matter?
Yeah. It's just a matter of the existence of basar b'cholov. Does that mean once basar and cholov get the tastes combined, they turn usher forever? Or no, once basar and cholov get their tastes combined, as long as they're still mixed, they're usher.
The way we're saying it, even the Taz would agree that it morphs into something.
Correct. It morphs, just like Shabbos morphs into something, right? But that is reversible.
As far as you hold either of the shots.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, why do I say, by the way, is the Shulchan Aruch mefurish like the Shach, or seems to be like the Shach? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? When will the Asa the piece next to it? If it's the Veil will Asa the piece next to it, that's easy. Right? Why will the Veil Asa the piece next to it? Right? That's cheesy. let's just go over here. If here we have the Veil, and here we have kosher beef, then obviously it'll also the piece next to it, right? Because here you have the nevela beef taste. No issue of blia, right? The taste of the thing itself will answer it. And what does he say? Basar b'chola will answer the piece next to it. So Shulchan Aruch is mefurish like the Taz. Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Torah, like the Shach. Shach says, I have mefurish Shulchan Aruch and Torah on my side. The machlok is, what does the Shulchan Aruch mean? What does the Shulchan Aruch mean? What does he say? He says, oh, basar b'chalav. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Nevela. He says, nevela. Oh, basar b'chalav. What does he mean by oh, basar b'chalav?
Before that, he said, I can't forget what he said in the Fatiha.
Nesar ha'chazatzo.
Yeah.
So hold on a second.
That has to come before those.
Okay, good. So what? Let's first read how the Shach said. The Shach says, what does he mean by oh, basar b'chalav? If here he has basar with taste of chalav, and here you have kosher beef, then it is asr, right? Oh, basar b'chalav. Didn't he say only neser machmas atmo? Basar b'chalav is asr machmas atmo. That's called asr machmas atmo. However, says the Taz, but Taz says this would not be asr. So what does the Taz say he means? The Taz says, no. He was clear, only Netzer Machmas Atzmo Asher the beast next to it, not Basar B'chalav. So what does he mean here by Basar B'chalav? What does the Taz say he means? With some Dochak. Here you have cheese. That's what he meant by Basar B'chalav. If you roast Basar next to Chalav, the time of the Basar will go to the whole Chalav, the time of the Chalav will go to the whole Basar, because no Bli is here, it's the thing itself. It's a little dacha, because he could have said gvina if he meant that, instead of chalav.
Taz didn't want to argue on the machaber.
Nope, he wanted to say the machaber agrees on this.
It just doesn't
agree. Even the Gra agrees.
Is a patia.
I know, but the Gra agrees. How can you say it's impossible if the Gra agrees?
Maybe the Gra said it without being, he doesn't care what the machaber
says. Says the Gra. Hold on. Sorry, maybe it's the next one. Hmm.
Am I wrong?
Kolasiv zemi divir rashva. Viritzono lomar. Viritzono lomar means what does the shonar mean? Butter hanogea bigvina. The Gemara thinks it's pshat. I know it's dachar.
There's a patiach and a siv. Patiach says, lachar shi yisua machmatat. And siyam says, avonim ein ba yisrael mashadolah. So how can you not know any different? He said he closed himself on both sides.
I don't know. It's a good question. But lemaisa, that's how the Taz, and even the Gemara, who's a pashtun, reads the Mechaber. Why did the Gemara read the Mechaber this way? I'll tell you. Because the Mechaber is quoting Rashba here, and the Torah is quoting Rashba here, and the Rashba is mufurish that he holds like this side of the Chakira in other applications. What's the big raya that all the Rishonim have for the Taz and the Gruz side? The big raya is... What's the raya? What's the smukor of Taz, etc.? Is Simon Sadi Beis. Remember the Tipa? Who remembers the Tipa, right? The Tipa skull of land on a piece of meat out of the rotev, what happens? It only answers that piece, it doesn't answer the next piece. Hold on. Why doesn't it answer the next piece? It only this piece Hanan, and then it's sleep. It's out of the rotev. Hold on. But let it make this piece Hanan, and then the meat taste of the Hanan will answer the next piece. That shows that a Basar B'Cholov does not answer the next piece. This is basically the same case, right? This is the exact same case as this.
So as soon as it's
arrived, then it arrived. Exactly. And we know it doesn't answer the whole Kedera. We know it doesn't answer the whole Kedera in this case. It only answers the piece it lands on. Why does it only answer the piece it lands on? Why doesn't the piece it lands on answer the next piece? It must be that a Basar B'Cholov piece doesn't answer the piece next to it, but Tzli. That's the Raya that
has. Can you explain what it means? What's the problem?
You roast cheese next to beef. If you roast cheese next to beef, then the cheese goes into the beef, and the beef goes into the cheese and answers it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch meant by Basar B'Cholov. You roast the cheese next to beef. He didn't mean you roast Basar B'Cholov next to kosher meat. You roast cheese next to beef. That's what the Shulchan Aruch meant by Ol Basar B'Cholov. You roast cheese next to meat.
What is the shach?
What does the shach do with this case? So, let's take this piece, right? This piece is mutter. Is mutter. So for the Taz, that's very nicha. Right? Of course the piece is mutter. That's a shita. Bitzli, Basar B'Cholov doesn't answer the piece next to it. What does the shach say? The shach says, no. Shach says, it doesn't mean that piece is mutter. It means, he has a havmina, otherwise he has a havmina, say maybe he'll go through the whole thing, once you know, but then he says no. It means that this next one is only Osir Kedei Klipa. Of course it goes into the next piece. But in the next piece, it only Osir Kedei Klipa. Kedei Netila. Did I say Klipa?
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant Netila. It's only Netzer Kedei Netila. Why? Because it's talking about meat that's not fatty. If it's not fatty, then it only answers Kedei Netila. It's not fatty meat in that Gemara. And that's before the Ashkenazi Chumras, that we don't know what's fatty and what isn't. So, basically, the Shach has to say, it sounds in the Gemara like all the other pieces are mutter. But according to me, it can't be. Basar B'Cholov answers the piece next to it. So according to me, you know what it really means? Not the other pieces are mutter. The other pieces are only Osir Kedei Klipa, Kedei Netila. Because they... since the milk itself didn't land on them, only the meat touched it. Meat that touches meat only answers Kedei Netila if it's lean meat. And he makes no kemp that it was lean meat.
Doesn't the Shach say...
And that's exactly what the Shach said in Siman Sadi Beis.
That's according to Reeve, then according to Rashi. Anyway, he has to say that doesn't make sense, but that's what he wrote there. He doesn't have to get
that. Okay, we're sticking with the Reeve for now.
I'm saying you learn from Reeve, which Abedez wrote, and there's no dispute that it should...
it should open, even the chelik ha'oser should be going to the other chatichos. And still we find all the explanations that it's
not. Ah, okay.
Nachon,
you're right. It's interesting that it's not what the Shach says, but you're absolutely right that he could have gone that way.
The Shach over there in Re says that...
The Shach, both here and there in the Re.
Chaticha inside the rotav is Aser, but still the rotav is in the Arav and the
Aser. You mean in Rashi?
In Rashi, right.
Right, so you're right. So it's actually fascinating that, according to Rashi, he could have said differently. I mean, he could have made a sushtal from Rashi to here, which he didn't. It could be that it depends on what his shot was and why it doesn't spread according to Rashi. If you say, remember, Rashi was only makel if it's part in, part out.
Right.
So if you say the reason he was makel in Rashi is because it only spread through a kedena til,
He says he has chaticha inside the rotav.
No. That is.
That's just my notes.
Rashi says even if it's partially in the rotav, correct?
No, I'm saying, but even with that chaticha is partially in the rotav, how much of that chaticha is aser is a machlokus in Shitas Rashi?
Right.
And the Shach learns that the whole chaticha,
even
the part in the rotav.
I see what you're saying. That is a good ha'ara. I hear what you're saying. Now I understand what you're saying. That is a good ha'ara. So the Shach could have gone that way. He didn't, meaning he talks right here. It's an interesting question why he didn't go that way. That's a good ha'ara. Maybe just hovered a little low sifalei. He thinks Rashi Shita is Tamua anyway, so. But it's a good ha'ara. I have to think about that more. Okay. So this is a very fundamental machlokas, Shach and Taz, right here on these words, O Basar B'Cholov, as to whether Basar B'Cholov, the Hanan of Basar B'Cholov, is really a big madriga off from Hanan of Shari Surin or not. Let us then continue. In the Shulchan Aruch, says, Bamed Bar Mamurim. Remember what I started off saying. There are two kulas of tzli as opposed to bishul. One is that it only goes to the intila instead of throughout. But if it's fatty, then it'll go throughout. The second kula of tzli is that a blia doesn't go from chaticha to a chaticha but tzli. What if it's fatty? Right? So, says the Shulchan Aruch, this is machlok shoshonim, but the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bamed varm shabola is rishenim fapeya, avol bolam and advarm hamafapim b'tivan." But if the isra absorbed it with something that his nature is to permeate because it's fatty, gum shuman, like fat, oseres chaverta beim b'tzli beim b'nugasu b'zucham b'cham, open the thon b'cham v'lo yunsen. Then it ashes the piece next to it, whether it's tzli on the fire, whether just two hot pieces touching each other. Or the bottom piece hot and the top piece cold. So Yisra Abluba Atzma Vifapeya the Yotze Mechaticha Lechaticha. Because then the Bliya will go from Chaticha to Chaticha. What is the Shulchan Aruch saying here? Saying this is all talking about when it's not shoving, but when it is shoving, it'll go Mechaticha Lechaticha. So, for example, okay, is this? Basically, you have to add a word to everything we said until now. Beef with Leos of lean pork. With Leos of, let's assume milk is lean. Right? That was the mainstream sheet of the Mishnah. But if you have here beef with Leos of fatty Isser next to beef, and here you have a fire, but they're not in Rotev, then what we say, that not only will the beef paste go, even the of the Isser, for example, what would the Isser be? Let's say Chalev, right? Let's say, for example, the Isser was Chalev. Since Chalev is fatty, then it can go from Chaticha to Chaticha without Rotev. A fat Bliya can go from Chaticha to Chaticha without Rotev.
Once you say this, doesn't it bring a tremendous amount of difficulty to the principle that external Bliyos don't transfer without a Rotev B'chol?
Rashkenazim, at least, do you mean?
Not just Rashkenazim, meaning we're making it into this big low plug.
External Bliyos don't go from Chaticha to Chaticha.
Right.
Now we just decided that's only true for lean Bleos, not for fatty Bleos.
And if we're going to say that this is the only thing in all of time and Bleos that none of the external blios go from one to the other. Now we're saying, oh, but that's only by lean things. Meaning, is it really, how could it be that we were presenting it as such a low plug that it was so absolute, and now all of a sudden, as soon as it's fatty, it's not absolute at all?
It's not really a question.
No?
Okay, here we have a bit of a machlokes. Says the shot and most posted. So therefore, this beef would be usher in this case. Now we have a few big and young. One issue is what's discussed in the shachs of Katan Yudches. First of all, the shachs is an interesting discussion here, which is, what about, here's an interesting one, what about meat that hasn't been salted and has blood in it? Is that considered like something usher in and of itself, or like something just usher because of obliya? He says, no, meat that hasn't been salted, that's a natural dam. That is pasha, that it goes out with that rotif. Because that's something that naturally occurs in it. Then, here's the issue with this is, what about...
We always already used this Torah once, that's considered not us, it's just Alua. We used that a couple of weeks.
Correct. Okay, you know what, let me put that shach on the board here someplace. What if you have... unsalted meat next to salted meat. Right? Then the shach says, and this is pashat from all of Hilchos Melicha, that the beef taste will transfer and the dam will also transfer. Why? Because that's not an external blia. This principle of a blia doesn't go without rotev, it's only for external blios. The dam is the natural part of the meat. Since it's a natural part of the meat, that will for sure transfer. That's why in old Hilchos Melicha we discuss if you salt a piece of meat with other pieces of meat, and the dam will drip down and out. And because the dam is internal. Even though we do say it's called blia in some kovbeis, but since the dam is internal, it's not something which, like, basically, if blood dripped on a chaticha and got absorbed, then it wouldn't come out without rotif. But here, the blood that's naturally in a chaticha before you salt it, it should come out without rotif. That's all over simin samates. Okay, that part of the shach sukkot yudches. Shach sukkot yudzayin is this. Shach sukkot yudches has another thing. Here's the interesting question of the shach. Are we machmir even on lean blios? Because we aren't the kiyan. Meaning, will Ashkenazim basically say, just like we erase the rule that sli only asks to the tila, will Ashkenazim erase the rule that ain't blios mean clearly be chaticha chaticha bli rotev? Just say, well, since a fatty blio would go out that rotev, we don't know what's fatty, and so we'll be machmir on everything. So that is that's a big question. What's the havi and we are not be so machmir? Because it's not so pasha that we're machmir on these fatty blios in the first place. Not everyone agrees that we're machmir on fatty blios in the first place. So maybe it's enough to be machmir on really fatty blios. We don't also have to be machmir on lean blios because we're not a bucky. So the shach says. There's no chumra here. It's pasha. The chumra is only for an iser itself being roasted next to a heter itself. We don't have a chumra on blios. Meaning on blios, we use the actual bin. If it's a lean blia, it won't transfer that rotev. If it's a fatty blia, it will transfer that rotev. Rabbi Kiveger questions this. Rabbi Kiveger here quotes that the Magen Avraham sounds pretty clearly like he is machmir for Isur and Midoraisa. That is a great question. Of course, he quotes the Magen Avraham quoting a Tshuvas Rama. So it's a great question. The simple shot is like the Shach. Most folks can agree with the Shach. That even though Ashkenazim are machmir, we're not Pekiyim. It's enough to be machmir napekiyim for Isra itself. We don't have to be machmir napekiyim for blios. However, the Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Magen Avraham, sounds like, no, maybe we're not just once he's ever napekiyim, he knew we could take that throughout. And sounds like maybe we're napekiyim even for for Ablios. And you know what? When we get to our Man Sif test, we'll see that it's very ambiguous exactly what he thinks about that. Shach in Yud Tes is a Lechus Chazer for a moment. It's something we already mentioned, and then we just have three teachings. Okay. Now, the last thing we have to discuss here is the discussion of the Shach in Sifkatan Yud Tes, which is based on what it says in the Torah here. Let me make some room. Here we compare in Sif Hey. And Sif Zayin. And we'll start with the tour. Says the tour in Sif Hey that if you have Heter Shomei and Iser Kachosh, first it fattens the Iser, and then it asers the whole Heter. That's called Azal Hayim Fat Lahai, right? The Heter fattens the Iser, and then the Iser can aser the Heter. We saw the Machaber agreed with that, the Taz disagreed. Right, and the Machaber is Reichem Elsa. The Taz and the Shach deal with, forget about whether the Machaber is right. There's even the Torah. Over here, the Torah says we have a case of Heter Shomei. This is all Tzli, of course. Heter Shomei. And here we have Iser, or Heter, and here we have Heter Shomein with a Blia of an Iser Kachosh. So, what does the Torah say? The Torah says Mutter. What's the Stira? What's the problem? The problem is this. Question. Why doesn't the Heter Shomein fatten the Blias Iser so it can the next chaticha. After all, here the Iser Kachosh is inside a fatty piece of meat. Right? It's inside a fatty piece of meat. Why doesn't the fatty piece of meat that's holding it fatten it? And once it's fattened, it will then be able to go and aser that piece of meat. That's the Sphira. Over here, the Heter fattens the Iser. Over here, the Heter doesn't fatten the Iser. That's the Sphira. Basic Sphira is over here. The Heter mefaken, that means fattened, the Iser. And over here, the Heter doesn't fatten the Iser. The Iser can't go into the next Saticha. It's still considered an Iser Kachosh.
Maybe the Shemin only does that when it's coming from a different place.
Now, Kol Shekain, if it's in the same place, it should be able to fatten it. So, there are four basic approaches. One approach is the Taz. He says, very Pashut, he says, in this case, there's no Pitum, and in this case, there's also no Pitum, and he just disagrees. It's not an answer to the stira. It's a disagreeing. So that goes stira. He says both cases is mutter. Mutter.
Isn't it a stira in the court?
Yeah, so he says tough luck. the Mechaber, according to the Shach, not the Shach himself. The Shach reads in the Mechaber. He reads this in the Mechaber as a me, right? As an Epsher. He says the Mechaber Epsher wanted to say, too, also disagrees. He says in this case there is Pitum and it's Usser. And in this case there is Pitum and it's Usser. He says, you know what? The Mechaber in Siv Zion never quoted that it's Mutter even if this is Shami. Okay? So basically, two easy ways to avoid the stira are just to disagree. Right? Just say either both cases also, both cases are mutter, and we disagree. But, in the Torah, neither of these resolve the stira. So resolving the stira, there are two basic sheets. What are the two sheets as an actual resolving the stira? The Darkei Moshe. Says the Darkei Moshe, it depends what object is kachosh. Here, we're dealing with chelev kachosh, fat of a scrawny goat. Chelev kachosh can be fattened by the hatter, because it's fundamentally fat. Here, Isser, which is not a type of fat. And this cannot be fattened by the heter. What does he say? He says, what's the difference? The difference is, what is the lean object? In Sif Hei, the lean object was fat of a scrawny goat. Fat of a scrawny goat is a lean object, but it's a fatty lean object. Therefore, if you just improve it a little, it turns fat. But in Siv Zion, we're dealing with, like, what's an example? Like, I don't know, like maybe just lean meat. Right? Such as, what could be an example of? You know, lean meat. Right? Or blood. Or, or tomatoes, or something like that. Meaning, he says this concept of Ozel Hayim Fatim Lahai, that the heter can fatten the Isser, only applies if the Isser is a type of fat to start with. But if the Isser is not a type of fat in the first place, or actually, even lean meat is a little trickier, because after all, you'll say maybe lean meat has a little fat in it, it's not a type of fat, leave it at that. The Darkei Moshe should give a specific example. Let me look up for a second. So the Darkei Moshe says the difference is, are we dealing with a lean fat or a lean non-fat? And that's how he answers the stira. One second. Sure, he doesn't say what it is. Okay. However, the Shach and the other Achronim give more obvious answers. Shach, who are the other Achronim? The Bach and the Marshal, Bach, the Prisha, the Maharshal, and the Achronim. The Achronim all like this answer. They say no, the difference is the context of Sif Hei and Sif Zion. Here we're talking about an actual piece of Isser can be fattened. A mere blia of Isser cannot be fattened. This is almost what maybe Aaron was trying to say. I don't remember. That it depends whether it's in something or not. But the Shach and most of the Achronim say, in Sif Hei we're talking about an actual piece of Isser next to a piece of Heter. A piece of Isser can be fattened by the Heter and then turn fat. Here we're talking about it's only a blia of an Isser. A blia is too ethereal. It's too non-substantive. A blia can't be fattened. And therefore, in Sif Hei, if you're talking about two pieces and whether they go through Kedem Tila, the whole thing, the Heter can fatten the Isser, then the Isser will also the whole Heter. And it's a Zion if you're talking about whether a Bliya can go from Chaticha to Chaticha without Rotev. Since it's only a Bliya, it can't be fattened. It is what it is, it's stuck being what it is. And therefore, even if it's in a fatty environment, it will not go to the next piece without Rotev. And the Achronim generally assume, like the Shach. Okay, the last thing we have to discuss, let's see, is what a Bliya goes into and out of without Rotev. So, what did we just say? Can a Bliya transfer without Rotev? What did we just say? Chaticha lechaticha. No, unless it's fatty. Right? Says the Ramah. The chol zev shtei chatichos. Aval kli shebala eser. Oser hat shogevo filo be eser she'eino shamei. But kli lechaticha. Yes. The bliya always leaves a kli and goes into a chaticha. Even without rotev, right? If you have a treif grill and you barbecue on it, the treif taste will come out of the grill and go into your food and make a treif. Right? If you use a treif fork to take something off the barbecue, it'll make a treif. Why? So the Achron explained, a food has its own taste. The external bliya will not leave without rotev. But a kli doesn't have its own taste. All it has is the bliya inside it. Those bliyas will leave even without rotev. Let's just, before we come back to this, mention the other two scenarios that the Shach and the Nosekela mentioned. How about from a kli to kli? This we know already. Will the taste go from kli to kli without rotev?
No,
and it doesn't matter, fatty, this, that, the other thing, absolutely not. How about from a chaticha to kli? How about from food to a kli? So the Achronim assume that from a food to a kli is the same as a food to a food. Meaning, from a food into anything, an external bliya will not go out without rotev unless it's shamei. From a kli to a kli, it will never go out. From a kli to a food, it will always go out. What the last thing we need to discuss is the shach. The shach asks, a bliya will go from a kli to a chatib without rotev, but how far will it go? Says the shach, as we've cut in chav gimel.
Which case is that on?
Kli to no, unless fatty, well, let's just fill it in. Unless fatty, in which case, it will permeate, right? A fatty bliya will permeate through the whole next chaticha. How about kli lechaticha? How far will it go? Meaning, a bliya of a kli, how far will that go into the chaticha that it touches? So says the Shach here, Pashadu Deino Osirak Kedei Klipa Vlo Rotev, only a Kedei Klipa. Oh, the Marshal says it'll go through the whole thing. So he says, ah, it depends. Says the Shach, if it's dry piece, it will only go through a Kedei Klipa. If it's a moist, solid piece, right, it's not rotev, then it will go through a kedei netila, and for Ashkenazim, through the whole piece, because we're not bikkim. So it says the shach, it depends. If a dry piece touches a kli, let's say you're baking dry bread on a baking tray, then is the baking tray's tray filled only aser kedei klipa. However, if you're, let's say, you're roasting a juicy steak on a barbecue, then it'll go through the whole thing. In the end, says the Shach, what if a dry piece, but the bliya is shamei? What about if the bliya inside the kli was fat? Then how much will the asar of a dry? You bake bread on a baking tray that absorbed chiglef. Well, that only asks you, can they cleave the bread or the whole bread? So the Shach says, he's the Suffolk, the Pesach Tshuva quotes that the Magen Avraham says, only can they cleave, and he uses the principle of Psak, that ain't Suffolk multi devadai, since the Shach is the Suffolk, and the Magen Avraham says, they cleave will pass, and that even if it absorbed Chelev, It will only asser a dry piece without rotev, kidei klipa. So, for example, with the Pesachei Tshuva here, he's quoting from the Noda Yehuda, I think, from like someone very chashuv. Which Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkatan Yud Gimel, he quotes from the Noda Yehuda, Yesh Lahakel Ganasa Magen Avram, Dul Shavkina, Magen Pshita, Lay the Magen Avram, Shal Steka, Shal Shach. We're not going to be docha, let's push it to Magen Avram, because the Shach is Mesopik. If we're going to achloka Shach, Magen Avram, that would be a different story. Therefore, if you have a baking tray and you bake dry bread on it, even if it's treif, it'll only ask if you take klipa of the bread. Even if chaylev went into the baking tray, doesn't matter, because whether it's shamin or kachosh, in very dry things, the kli only asks the chaticha, can they klipa. However, if instead of baking bread, you bake something very juicy and moist, what's juicy and moist? A steak, you know, which is very juicy, meatballs. Well, you don't roast meatballs, but
meatballs.
Yeah, you don't really roast meatballs without rotev. And then it would answer the whole thing. Okay, ches, and then we'll stop. Kul yashifol b'chalvo ino aser elok de klipas akrom mafsi. The Gemara says if you roast a kidney of the kidney has fat next to it. If you roast a kidney and you forgot to take the fat off. You might think the fat would ask for the whole thing, or at least the kidei netila. It says, no, it only asks for the klipa. Why? There's a crumb, there's a membrane in between the chaylev and the kidney. The membrane only lets a tiny bit of chaylev through, so it only asks for the kidei klipa. Says the Ramav Yesh Osir V'chein Nogin. No, we ask her, we say it asks for the whole thing, and that's our minhag. Why? The Nosei Kelim say two reasons. Number one, that's only one day in the Gemara, but we don't pass it like that day. Number two, we are not careful to check if the membrane ripped. Maybe the membrane ripped and you didn't notice. Therefore, A, we don't pass like the day in the Gemara, and even if we did pass like the day in the Gemara nowadays, we're worried. Maybe the membrane ripped and you didn't notice. Ve'ein l'shanos, you should not be makel, if you're Ashkenazic. Ve'dinuk shar chilev and nesvam basar, and it's the regular rule of chilev roasted with meat. Ve'in nesbashal kach, and if you cook a kidney with the fat attached to it, then says we're machron it. Basically, we don't rely on this membrane as a kulet at all. We even apply kanan. If you cook a kidney in your stew, in your cholin with the chaylev, we say since the chaylev is dovak to the kidney became kanan, and now you need 60 kanan of the whole kidney. We have no kulas because of the membrane, and the same applies to the membrane. It's on the oseres. The oseres is the lobe, some sort of lobe of the liver. I don't remember exactly what it's called. There's a lobe on the liver, and it's the, anyone better with animal parts than I am? Okay, anyway, the same applies to that. Okay, we will have to, two quick announcements. On Tuesday, we will finish Simon Kofei, basically, Sif test is very, very difficult, the rest of them are pretty straightforward, and then we will break for Chazara, and the Bechina on... When are the last going to go until? Anyone remember?
Kuf, Tzadi Dalet.
What?
Tzadi Dalet.
Tzadi Dalet. So the Bechina Tzadi Hei through Kuf Hei will be the last day of Zman. 2.5 weeks.